text verse, but we'll get to it in the text passage. We'll get to it in just a few minutes. But look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I appreciated what was said a few minutes ago about being ready. Brother Ian gave the tract attack announcement. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And this speaks of being prepared. You know, some people don't understand why it's important to spend every day, at least a few minutes a day, in your Bible. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't equip yourself and you don't prepare yourself day by day, you won't be ready when the battle comes. And when a battle suddenly is hot, raging around you, you don't have time to get armor on and to prepare for battle at that point. You've got to be armed before that time comes. You've got to have answers ready. And that's so true in the spiritual warfare as well. Ephesians chapter 6 speaks of having on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and having the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And each one of those instruments of weaponry, spiritual armor, must be taken up. You've got to take those up, or else you cannot be prepared to stand. We see a man who was unprepared to stand, and so he didn't, and he experienced what I call the consequences of compromise. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 with me, and this is the text for this message tonight. And the man's name was Lot, and it's a sad, sad biblical account of the direction this man took and the results of the consequences of his poor choices. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Let me stop there just a moment. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness." There are some who believe that when the Bible speaks of the sons of God and the daughters of men, that these are the godly line of Seth versus the ungodly daughters of Cain, and they intermarried, and the result was compromise. I personally believe that angels, that fallen angels, took upon themselves a human form, and they mingled with human beings and were threatening to destroy the human family so that it would be diluted and polluted for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he would come and he would defeat Satan as God promised in Genesis 3:15. And so God judged these people, and that was one of the reasons for the flood, was this ungodly intermarrying. And the result, the Bible says, of this union was at least implies that it was mighty men of renown. And there were some very large people that were roaming the earth in those days. But the fact remains, there is a certain classification of angels who are reserved in chains of darkness, and God has caused them to be chained in hell. And that's what 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 teaches. And who are they? Has God chained all the demons and devils of hell in hell? No, he doesn't. They're free to roam and go about and do their wickedness as they choose. And Satan, of course, is the head of all the demons and devils. But the Bible says there's a certain class who are delivered into chains of darkness, and they're reserved unto judgment. And I believe that was the situation. That is also, I believe, verified in other New Testament books as well, in regard to apostasy, falling away or departure from truth. Verse 5, "And spared not," if God spared not the old world, "but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness." By the way, it says concerning Noah in Genesis chapter 6 that he was righteous in all his generations. Generation speaks of conception and birth. And the Bible, that was one of the things that God said about Noah, was that he was clean. He didn't engage in this kind of compromise early on, and so God selected him to build the ark. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, or dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Then if God did all of that, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And we're going to spend some time this evening focusing on Lot and some of the poor choices that he made. The Bible says he was just Lot. In other words, he was justified, and yet he made some very, very bad choices. He ended up compromising truth and experienced some dire consequences of that terrible compromise that he was guilty of. And so we're going to go back to the Old Testament record in just a few minutes and begin to look at the consequences of compromise, particularly the consequences of Lot's compromise. You know, you equip yourself for spiritual battle by installments, little by little. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And then verse 11 follows hard after that and says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We equip ourselves ahead of time. We equip ourselves little by little. And it's rather like a person who learns how to fight, who learns the art of armament, and maybe he's learning the martial arts. This comes little at a time, and a person graduates from one level to another through long time preparation and practice until he's able to meet people, foes that would try to vanquish or overthrow him. And we need to be challenged to strengthen ourselves, because you will be challenged to compromise. You will be in the world in which we live. We live in a very ungodly world, and I've got some things I want to say about that at family camp. No matter how Christian you may consider yourself to be, no matter how strong in the faith you consider yourself to be, you're going to be challenged to your very core, and it will remain to be seen which side you come out on. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, who is the father of the faithful, and yet Lot faced some serious consequences because he was not strong as he would imagined that he was, and so he was guilty of a lot of compromise. The Bible says he's just Lot. There in chapter 2, verse 7, he delivered just Lot. And twice it mentioned that he was vexed. Verse 7 says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And verse 8 says he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And so he was affected, even though he probably did not want to be. Look back up just a little bit to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know what's right and we don't do what's right, it becomes sin for us. Look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the Bible says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatever we do that's because of doubt or not saturated by faith, the Bible says it becomes sin for us. And it may not be sin for somebody else if it's not an actual ungodly deed. But if God has shown us in our heart that we ought not to do that, but we do it anyway, or if we have opportunity to do right and we fail to do the right thing that becomes sin for us. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Listen to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It's hard, and Lot saw how hard it actually was. He was so close to true goodness and godliness, and yet he was so far away. And he compromised with the wicked. And as a result of that, he had to face some serious consequences because of his compromise. Now go back with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 13. First of all, one of the earliest times we see Lot mentioned in Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And we didn't start early enough in the chapter to see the lack of discipline in Lot's life. Abram gave him a choice. And they were being blessed. And this can be a very deceptive thing when God is blessing. Oh, everything's fine. You may be just a step away from serious compromise when everything's going real fine. Their herds were growing, and they faced a unique problem. They were getting the herds mixed up. There were so many of them, and the herdmen were complaining, we can't keep our livestock separate from yours, and so we need to separate. And Abram said to Lot, you choose the way that you want to go. And Lot unwisely chose the well-watered plains of Jordan instead of the desert. And that would have been a logical choice, except for the associations that he would be forced into as a result of that decision. And so the first thing I see about Lot was that he was an undisciplined young man. He was undiscipled. The times that we have a problem with sin and compromise are brought on by lapses in our dedication, our determination to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you may be sitting here tonight and you're not sure which direction you'll go. You should follow the Bible pattern, which shows us what happens to people who make the wrong kinds of choices. I see only two options. Either there's a path of joy, which is the path of obedience and submission to God, versus the path of destruction, versus the path of regret, which is the way of the world. There are only two choices that God's people have to make, only two. And you can only choose one of those two. Which one will you choose? Will you choose the way of compromise, or will you choose the way of truth and righteousness? And Lot is a bad example of that, because he made the wrong decision. He was an undisciplined young man. Lot would never have pitched his tent toward Sodom had he been a determined disciple. And you know what? You won't either. You and I won't either. We won't make the right decision unless we are determined disciples of followers of Jesus Christ. Look with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. Here the Bible speaks of this very thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And he mentions fornication specifically because I think that just as human nature made it a temptation then, human nature makes it a temptation now to have intimate relations with somebody that you're not married to. The Bible says that's a sin and cannot bring good results. It won't bring good results. There will always be heartache and frustration and disappointment and regret when we plunge in the direction of following our sinful flesh. Oh, there's the pleasure. And you remember in Hebrews chapter 11, God spoke of Moses choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah, there's a season of pleasure there for sin. But the Bible says at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. It doesn't bring lasting satisfaction or joy. It only brings regret. And typically, a person ends up despising the individual that they knowingly sinned with and against. Typically, they'll end up despising. I'll never understand. Single young women who tie themselves to some guy because he gives them a song and a dance, and he's perfectly content not to get married, and so he takes advantage of her, and all she can do is bear the brunt and bear the shame of all that after the fact when he decides he's going to go find greener pastures somewhere else. I'll never understand that. What is there in that for her? What is there in that kind of relationship that will be a blessing and a satisfaction and a joy to her life? It's all about her giving him what he wants, and it's the path of wickedness. Well, wickedness was ratcheted up to the next level in this case with Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. But Lot was not a determined disciple, and so he made a bad choice. He made several negative choices because he wasn't determined to do the right thing. And so he was subject to being convinced to do the wrong thing. And he did. And he compromised, and he experienced some awful consequences as a result of that. The fact of the matter is, desire can wane on the part of a disciple, but a person must keep his desire on the Lord, and the discipline will develop. We need to determine that we're going to follow truth and righteousness no matter what, and be determined that we believe that God is right about this. God is right about this. Otherwise, you have to say God is wrong about it. And look at the track record and determine who's right and who's wrong. And by God's grace, determine to do the right thing instead of the wrong thing, because you will be the loser ultimately. This undisciplined condition that Lot faced is due to his own immaturity. He had stunted spiritual growth. He had the same opportunity that others like him had. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 with me. He had the same opportunity. He was right there in Abraham's house, probably living under the same tent at some point as Abram's nephew, but he was not positively affected by this. He was stunted in his spiritual growth because of some negative decisions that he made, because of his carnality, even though the Bible says he was a just man, which implies he was a saved man. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And why is he still a babe? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby, and it helps us to grow. But there comes a point where you move beyond milk to meat, to more substantial food, and every mother of little children knows that. There comes a point where they move beyond just needing milk and needing more solid foods, and that's what this is all about. The Bible says, "But the person who continues using milk continues to be a babe." Verse 14 says, "For but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You ought to be spending time in your Bible. You ought to be reading good devotional literature. I usually, whenever I go into a thrift store, I look through the books. And I'm always grieved when I see books that are written even on a spiritual subject by, and I confess, I'm looking for particular authors. And a lot of authors are probably newer, younger people that are good, but if I don't see a name that I recognize, I don't buy devotional literature unless it's a name that I know, because this person has a track record and I can count on them to be spiritually minded and not lead me astray. I don't know some of these people, some of these writers, some of these authors. But the Bible says that it's a good thing to spend more time in the Scriptures, and I would say it's a good thing to spend more time reading good, solid, devotional literature, and what you focus your mind on is how you will be. If the first thing you do is turn on the radio to a hip-hop station or a rap station or something where the music is just throbbing at you, that's the kind of person that you ultimately will be. You'll be a worldly-minded, secular person. Whereas if you enjoy listening to gospel music and hymns that give honor and glory to the Lord, well, then that's more likely to be the kind of person that you'll be. Oh, but that's not very cool. That's not cool. Talked a lot about Cool, who, when his wife turned into a pillar of salt and he had to go live in a cave to flee for his life because he lost everything in the city of Sodom where he had taken up residency. Talk to him about what's cool. And I think he would tell you that, you know, that compromise, it wasn't worth it. The compromise wasn't worth it. Well, he was an undisciplined man because he had not been properly discipled, because he had opportunity, but he didn't take advantage of the opportunities that he had. And so Lot became unclean. Now let's go to Genesis 19 and look at the text in Genesis chapter 19 and trace a little bit of information about Lot's compromise. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." Why was he sitting in the gate? That was the person who had been elevated to the position of, you know, our equivalent to the mayor. Why was Lot sitting in the gate of the city of Sodom? It was a very wicked place. The city was filled with very wicked-minded people. Why was he in that position of responsibility and leadership and authority? Because he had compromised. That's why. He didn't want to say anything that would offend anybody, even though he would be telling them what the Lord said about their sin. And the Bible says in verse 2, he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly. Why did he press upon them greatly? So they wouldn't sleep out in the street. Probably he knew what would happen. They turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said to him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And this carries with it some moral implication. And we want to know them in a homosexual way. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." He knew this was wicked. So why didn't you ever say it was wicked before, Lot? Because he was a compromiser. That's why. He valued material possessions more than he valued his testimony. He valued material possessions more than he valued his family. And yet he was the Bible says he was just Lot. He was a saved man. And is it possible for a saved person to go to such depths of wickedness? Apparently it is, because Lot is one who did that. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And here he has degraded himself. He came to tolerate the sin of Sodom, and later on he accommodated the sin of Sodom, and he was even willing to sacrifice his own daughters for the sake of these two men who came under his roof for his hospitality. Isn't that deplorable? That's deplorable. A man should be willing to fight for his children and not offer them up to wicked men to take advantage of and abuse however they choose to do that. A man, you know what? I think it's good. I think it's good for a person to have their own handguns, because there may come a time when you have to defend your own life. I think it's wise for a person to have firearms in their house. I don't have a problem with a concealed carry permit for the purpose of personal protection, not so you can be a cowboy, not so you can be out there and threaten people and do something foolish like that, but so you can protect yourself and protect your family. Here's a man who was offering his daughters up. He was not willing to put himself on the line to protect them at all. What a foul excuse for a dad he was. He had become unclean, and the sin that he had tolerated would spread. Toleration of sin. Do you know toleration of sin will produce apathy toward sin? Look in your Bible to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. Hold your place in Genesis 19, because we'll get back to this passage of Scripture and we'll read some more about Lot's compromise. But in Numbers chapter 25, the Bible speaks of a time when people had become so callous to sin that it didn't even really bother them anymore, except for the most part, except for a few who were incensed by it. In Numbers 25:1, the Bible says, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moab, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 20,400. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore I say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it. And we could read on in this passage of Scripture, but the issue is about tolerating sin. And God in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't call us to kill anybody, obviously. But John the Baptist was a good example, who stood fearlessly and said to Herod, who had the power of life and death over John, by the way, who said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have this woman. This is sin. This is wrong for you to have your brother's wife. It's good for people to take a stand for righteousness and not compromise the truth just because it happens to be something that people say feels good at the moment. It's compromise. And Eleazar took a stand, Phinehas, his son, took a stand and would not tolerate the sin that God had already condemned. Lot's secondhand smoke is significant. And we read again in Genesis chapter 19. The Bible doesn't mention that he was a smoker. You know, it was his own sin. His compromise was more deadly to his children than it was to himself. It was more destructive in the lives of his daughters, his married daughters, and his sons-in-law than it was even for himself. And they say that secondhand smoke can be as deadly or even more deadly than firsthand. And you don't hear much about it these days because all the talk is about the gay and lesbian crowd and the transgender stuff that's going on. And it's garbage. It's violation of God's word. It's rebellion against the holy God of eternity. And I'll say some more about that a little bit later on. But God's people need to be very careful not to be drawn into compromise. Lot was unfaithful to his leadership role. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 12, the Bible says, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." He seemed like he was just joking. "Oh, you're kidding, right, Lot? I mean, like, we've been involved in this city and we've been getting rich here for decades, and now you say God's not going to tolerate the sin anymore. God's going to judge the sin. You got to be joking." His own compromise came back to bite him in that situation, and his secondhand smoke, as it were, was more destructive to somebody else than even himself. He survived all of this somehow with lots of regrets, but compromise and apathy and sin always will affect the family. And there will always be fallout just beyond you and me. There will be fallout. There will be a deadly consequence for our compromise. Somebody said you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's true. After it's squeezed out of the tube, you can't put it back in. And the same thing is true of gossip. You can't go back and reclaim that. Somebody told the story of a woman who wanted to get right with God. And she said, "I've just talked too much. I've said a lot of things I shouldn't have said." And so the preacher said, "Take a feather pillow on a windy day and cut it open and scatter out those feathers and let the wind carry them, and then go back and pick up every one of them." And she said, "That's impossible." And his response was, "Yeah, it's impossible for you to reclaim your words too. You can't go back and get them all back and reclaim them all." People should be very careful about what they say, because their own words will judge them. And the Bible teaches us that this is a wicked area of sowing in many people's lives. The Bible says in James chapter 2 that the tongue can no man tame. It's a deadly evil, full of poison. It's a fire. And we should be very careful about the things that we say, because they can come back to bite us. The Bible says that Lot was unfaithful in his leadership role, and that he was unconvinced that God's word was actually true. Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 15. The Bible says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Why was it that he had to be pulled from the city? Why did he linger? This was the issue of faith. He was unconvinced that God's word was actually true, that God would actually come back and do what he said he would do. And so he didn't want to go. But God in his mercy had those angels grab those people's hands and almost drag them from the city of Sodom before the fire came down, because God meant serious business. His word was true. And you know what? Worldliness in the life of a believer has a very close companion, and it's unbelief. I don't really think that it's going to happen as the preacher says. I don't really think it's going to happen as God's word has stated. That compromise is accompanied by unbelief. And you be very careful, because if you're compromising, you're on the verge of unbelief, of saying, I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's actually going to happen. And actually saying that God is a liar. And he's not. You know he's not. You know God's always truthful. And what he says will come to pass just as he said it would. Somebody has said, the wheels of God's justice, millstones as it were, grind exceeding slow, but they grind exceeding fine. And if you've ever been to an old mill house and you've seen those millstones, and you've seen a mill in action, you know that they move very slowly. But the result of those two, sometimes a ton or more stones grinding wheat against each other, is that the flour that comes out the other side is extremely fine. And somebody may say, oh, I don't see God doing anything. I don't see God doing anything now. Oh, but he will. He will. And God's judgment, the consequences for compromise are exceedingly fine. And the Bible says, how can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews 2:2. How can we escape? There is no escape if we neglect that great salvation. There's no escape. Lot was unconvinced that God's word was true, and his faith and his trust fed on godliness while he was exercising godliness. But there came a point where he decided that he didn't need to go that way anymore. Go to Jude verse 18, the next to the last book in the Bible. Just before the book of Revelation, Jude verse 18 to 21, here the Bible says how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You need to keep track of some things, because some things will slip. You need to build yourself up, and that building up is accompanied by prayer, talking to God and letting him talk to you, spending time in his word, and you will end up in compromise if you don't do that. Lot was uncomfortable with God's will. He didn't appreciate what God had told him to do. Go back in Genesis chapter 19 again. And in Genesis chapter 19, verse 17, the Bible says, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plains, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. I don't like what God has commanded me to do. Instead, he said in verse 19, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? I don't like your answer. This is what I want. this is what I want. And a backslidden, compromising saint will never find the will of God agreeable to him. He'll never decide that's the best thing to do because he's made up his mind a long time ago that that's not what he wants. And you say, how do I come to the place of appreciating what God commands? You've got to get cleaned up and get your life straightened out first. You've got to turn to the Lord. Psalm 51 talks about David having a clean heart, and then he'll be able to please the Lord. Then he'll be able to reach out and be a blessing to somebody else after he has repented, after he has gotten himself right with the Lord. First of all, confession of sin brings joy to the life. And people imagine that we live under a different system. We have a different kind of God. And we don't do what the world does. We prosper anyway. And the Bible indicates that if we don't conscientiously and consciously turn to the Lord day by day, we'll end up in compromise. We'll end up violating the things that we know are so, that we know are true. Lot was unacceptable to the world. In chapter 19, verse 30, the Bible says, behold, now this city is, that's verse 20, verse 30 says, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. He dwelt in the cave and his two daughters. Why did he fear to dwell in Zoar? Why did he not want to go there? Well, because they hated him. They knew what he was supposed to be. A backslider is the most miserable creature of all. One who says they believe one thing but lives by a different set of standards is despised by everybody. Nobody, you know, the saints don't trust him, and the unrighteous don't trust him either. And so there's no peace to a person who lives in compromise. And so the solution is, you're going to have somebody against you anyway, the same crowd that's against God, but at least you'll be in good company. At least you'll be in good company. Choose to stand for righteousness. Choose to stand for the Lord. Even though the world doesn't like it, at least you'll be in his company when you stand for truth and righteousness. Don't be a compromiser. Lot found himself unacceptable to the world, and Lot was unforgettable in his end. Look at verse 32 of Genesis chapter 19. The Bible says, come, let us make our father wine, and we will lie with him, and we that we may preserve seed to our father. And you know how the rest of this went. Moab and Ammon were the nations that were formed because of this incestuous relationship, and they made their father drunken. We haven't even addressed the fact that he lost his wife in the whole process. She became a pillar of salt because of his poor leadership. He should have taken a stand against the city of Sodom and taught her, this is not a good place. This is a place for us to get away from. But she was drawn to it, and she turned back, and she became a pillar of salt, the Bible says. And so we haven't even discussed that area of his compromise. We talked a little bit about his unwillingness to lead his family in the right way, and his wife was a casualty to that. So were his daughters. His unmarried daughters were casualties to this whole dreadful, compromising situation. And his name lives in infamy. Who names their son Lot? Some people, we have an Abraham here. We have a family that named their son Abraham. We have Isaacs, we have Jacobs, we have other Bible names, but who chooses Lot? Just like who chooses Judas? And names their child Judas. People just don't do that. Judas Iscariot, his name lives in infamy. And the same is true for Lot. It's not a good name. It's not a good name. It's a name that stands for compromise and defeat and destruction and immorality. Who would want to be associated with him personally? Of course, the saints would not. And I'm sure Abraham grieved over the loss of Lot, just because of his poor choices. But he scandalized his own daughters they were the product of his compromise. And somebody would say, oh, Pastor, you don't actually believe that Lot taught his daughters that incest was okay, do you? No, I don't, but they learned by his example that other forms of fornication were fine, and that was not a problem. They learned by his own compromise. And may I ask you, what are you compromising today that will rub off on your children, that will be the second-hand result of your own compromise? Don't be caught like Lot was. And yet, if you proceed to live that way, you will. Be sure your sin will find you out, Numbers says. We cannot escape the consequences of our sin and our compromise. We cannot. May God help us to stand true and stand strong and stand unafraid and stand for truth and righteousness and be the kind of believers who are growing in the Lord, who are equipping ourselves more day by day by day so that we can stand when the challenge comes. Oh, it's coming. There are much more serious challenges to your faith that are coming. And so the question is, will you stand? Will you stand when those challenges come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us. We need you to make us strong. And Father, much of the choice that we make to be strong or not is dependent on us, on our own actions. And will we choose to pursue a path that will cause us to be stronger, or will we choose to pursue a path that will lead us into compromise? Who could fault a man like Lot because he wanted to make sure his cattle and his livestock were well cared for and would be fat and flourishing? And yet he was not solid in his determination to stand for righteousness. And it came back to bite him. And he was lured, I think he was lured by the devil into a terrible compromising situation. I don't think there's any question of it. Certainly his own flesh came into the discussion, came into play in the situation that developed. And he was undoubtedly flattered by people who took advantage of him and who laughed behind his back because he yielded up all that he had professed to believe up to that point. And it was as though it were of no value at all. He gave up some very dear things. And Father, the avenue that he took was compromise. And may God help us to be strong in the Lord and not just do right, but also to think right and be equipped to make right choices. Bless your people, Father. Gird us in a very ungodly age. And Father, I pray that you'd help your people to be strong against the temptation to compromise truth and to second guess God himself. Father, you know what's right, and truth never changes, and it's always the same. And the results of truth will always be the same, and the results of a violation of truth will always be the same. These are things that do not change. And we cannot escape the consequences of compromise. Would you help your people, and Father, help us to be strong in the Lord, and help us day by day. I pray that somebody here today would be convicted about the fact that they're not day by day strengthening themselves so they can be strong when the battle rages around them. And Father, may you rescue some soul tonight from the brink of compromise and destruction. Help them to be right with the Lord. Somebody's right. Somebody's wrong. And who is it that we're willing to bank on being wrong? Is it God or is it the world? Well, Father, you're always right. Help us to trust you and help us to submit to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.